Aren't you glad when you got saved, you got a new story?
Amen. I hope you've got a story tonight. Take your Bible and turn with me. Thank you, Miss Janice. Appreciate the good singing. Girls, that was mighty good. Take your Bible and turn to Nehemiah chapter number 6. Go to Psalms and start going backwards. You'll hit Nehemiah. Nehemiah, Esther, Job, in the book of Psalms. Nehemiah chapter number 6. I had honestly forgotten. I talked to Brother Allen earlier, and I had honestly forgotten, teenagers, that you was going to be in here with us tonight. So as I saw you come in, I remembered, and I just been sitting here praying, Lord, help me to fix this message a little bit so it'll be a help to them. And so I'm not going to preach just to you tonight, but I do want to be a help to you if I can. I want you to look at Nehemiah chapter number 6. How many of you are familiar with the book of Nehemiah? What is the main theme of the book of Nehemiah? Rebuilding the walls. Nehemiah is a cupbearer to the king, Artaxerxes, and he gets word from Jerusalem that the walls are laid in shambles, and he gets a burden, and he's burdened so bad the king can see it on his countenance, and he says, "What's the matter with you?" And the king tells him, and long story short, the king gives him permission and letters in his hand to go home and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. A mighty, mighty undertaking, a huge task. They got it done in record-breaking time. Why don't you pick up with me at Nehemiah chapter number 6. And in chapter 6, the walls are done. I think only thing left now is to hang the gates, I believe. But I want you to watch this. We'll look at the first three verses, then keep your Bibles open. We're going to look at several more. The Bible said, "Now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem, the Arabian, and the rest of our," say the word with me, "enemies, heard that I had builded the wall and that there was no breach left in, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates." Now let's stop just there for just a second. He names three guys: Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem. Now, he said that these guys were among our enemies. In other words, Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem, they were their enemies, but they weren't their only enemies. And what Nehemiah does, he points out these three. It seems that maybe these three are the arch enemies. Let me just mark her down. In life, you're going to have enemies. They said over here on this side, in this life, you are going to have enemies. About the time you hit kindergarten, you realize everybody don't like you. When you're a kid growing up, I mean, you got grandma and grandpa, and you're the cutest little kid. You can be fat and ugly with big warts on your nose, but to your grandmama, you're the prettiest kid that's ever been born. Somebody talk to me. Is that right? Amen. But then you get to school and all the other kids are going, you know, kids are mean, man. They're brutal. I mean, they really are. Kids are awful there. But you find out, hey, man, everybody don't think I'm cute and cuddly. One time I got called in the office when I was a kid in elementary school, and I remember fighting with my mother that morning. She got up and laid out my clothes. She did that every day. And I had a pair of pants. I hate to even admit that I ever even had on a pair of pants like this, but they were plaid. Somebody help me. Plaid pants. I'm talking about 70s now. Plaid pants. Check it. A whole pair of pants like his shirt. It's okay for a shirt, but it's uncool for pants. Nod your head, boys. Limp-wristed fellas wear plaid pants. Amen. So I get in trouble during the day, and I got sent to the principal's office, and I'm crying. I'm in trouble fishing to get a paddling, and the principal looks over the desk at me, and he says, "You think you're cute, don't you?" I said, "I told Mama these pants was ugly." I didn't know what he meant. But I come to find out real quick, in life, you're going to have enemies, people who do not like you. And we're going to talk about the realization just for a few minutes of our enemies tonight. Who could shout real good and loud and tell me who is our chief enemy? I'm going to say it again. Satan, the devil, that is your chief number one enemy. He is your enemy, but he is among your enemies. Okay? So he names these three guys, Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem, and he said they are among our enemies. Now, I'm going to show you tonight how the enemy works. Ephesians chapter number 6 will tell you who your chief enemy is. He says your enemy, the devil. He'll tell you exactly. Said we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and rulers of darkness, principalities, all that stuff. I mean, there is spiritual wickedness in this world. Would y'all agree? Yeah. I don't want to get spooky on you, but teenagers, how many of you believe in demons? But them things are real, buddy. Yeah. Them things are real. How many of you believe in angels? Yeah. You know what a demon is, don't you? He's an angel that left his first estate. He's an angel that was kicked out of heaven with Lucifer, amen, with the devil. Demons are real. What we need to realize in this Christian life, now listen, even in kindergarten you got enemies, but when you get saved, you get a whole new set. When you get saved, you get a set of enemies like you've never had before. You see, before you got saved, you battled just friendship issues, and you battled co-worker issues and things like that. But the devil didn't give you any trouble. Why would he? You're his. Why would he give you a hard time? Have you ever heard the statement, "I had it better before I got saved"? I didn't have as much trouble before I got saved as I do now since I got saved. You know why? You got a new enemy. You got a new enemy. Your old daddy has now become your number one adversary. Your old father, the devil. Jesus looked at that crowd and said, "Ye are of your father, the devil." Amen. Now, God has taken you away from him, and he's mad. And he's going to do everything in his power to stop you. Now listen, Nehemiah is doing a great work for God. He even says he is. He's doing a great work for God. And if you think the devil's going to let you do anything for God and get by with it without a fight, you got another thing coming. Amen. Amen. You can just lay that up there, Brother Tom. Thank you. The devil is not going to sit idly by. You go to youth rally and you get excited and get on fire for God. Hey, some of y'all were so on fire. I mean, I ain't never seen nothing like it. And now you just, What happened? Enemy. You got up there and got alone with God, but somebody was waiting on you when you got home. The enemy. Are y'all listening? You started working in the bus ministry and was excited. What happened? Enemy. Enemy. You said, "I do," and it was wonderful and honeymoon and huggy huggy, smoochy smoochy, and kissy kissy. What happened? Y'all listening to me? The enemy. He is for real and he is formidable. I mean, he's bad to the bone. That's what that word means. He's not an enemy that you wink at. He's not an enemy that you think, "That ain't no problem." These guys on TV, some of these lying TV preachers, they'll fool you when they start making statements like, "I command thee, Lucifer." You don't command your enemy to do nothing. You ask your big brother Jesus to help you with that problem. Somebody help me tonight. Amen. Now I want you to notice tonight how this enemy works. The Bible says that we ought to know our adversary. We ought to know how it is he works in our life and learn what he does. How many of you know how the devil hits you? Come on. He knows exactly how, don't he? You know what? He may work on you totally differently than he does me. Why? Because you're totally different than I am. I know Jesus knows me, but I hate it that the devil does too. Amen. Look at verse number 2. Now, they have heard that Nehemiah's getting the job done. I mean, this thing is almost done. In verse number 2, "Then Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, Come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief." Stop right there. It seemed like they had a good motive. "Hey man, we just want to hang out with you." The devil always comes across harmless. Let me say it again. He always comes at you as something that's harmless. Have you ever made this statement? Well, I don't really see anything wrong with this. Come on, y'all help me. Adults too. I'm not just preaching to kids tonight. Well, I don't see. That's our problem. We don't see. Let me say it again. That's our problem. We don't see. If we're not careful, we'll get the blinders on and go, I don't see anything wrong with that, while we walk off a cliff. While we walk into moving traffic, while we walk into our spiritual dilemma or our spiritual demise and commit spiritual suicide. All because we don't see. Did you know you don't always see? Amen. There's a lot of things that's come my way that I thought, well, there ain't really nothing wrong with that. Amen. And it'll bite you. Amen. That's like the lady who I read a story about several years ago. She had I forget what you call them, one of them snakes. Rusty was talking about them yesterday. Python. She had them python snakes. How many of you would sleep with a snake? You crippled too high for crutches. She had a python. And that thing got bigger and bigger and bigger, and they told her, you need to get rid of that thing. It's getting way too big. She said, there's nothing wrong with it. It would never hurt me. She put it in the bed with her. Idiot. I said, idiot. I said, idiot. And it curled up around her during the night and squeezed the life out of her. Duh, that's what they do. Amen. Y'all all right? Well, it won't hurt me. Y'all all right? I'll wait till you get done. That's the way the devil does. He appears to be harmless. It's like and I don't want to make nobody mad, but it's like he's thugs walking around with a pit bulldog on a log chain. Do you know what every one of them say when they attack a kid and chew their face off? Why, he's never bit anybody. They did something to it. They provoked it. No, it's a pit bulldog. You can take a bird dog puppy, a pointer, and when that dog's 6-8 months old, you don't have to tell it. It'll start pointing birds. Why? It's in its nature. And I got to be honest with you. I got a friend of mine in Kentucky, Brother Tony Shirley's brother, Terry. He raises world champion show pit bulls. Prettiest pit bulldogs you ever seen. You won't talk about a pretty puppy. Them some of the cutest puppies I ever laid my eyes on. But you know what? While you petting that little puppy every day, that harmless little puppy, you don't even realize it because it's happening so gradually, but that puppy's growing. And before you know it, you got a full-grown snarling fangs hanging out its mouth, full-grown pit bulldog that can take your life. I'm just saying the devil always appears to be harmless. Hey, just come down here and talk to me a little while. Just come down here and talk to me. Remember what happened to Eve? That snake crawled up to her and said, hey, I want to talk to you for a minute. Hey, some people you don't even need to give the time of day. Amen. Hey, there's some boys at school, girls, listen, if they ain't saved, don't even talk to them. You say, no, wait a minute, that's being judgmental. No, it's not. That's being Bible. Y'all all right? Well, your idea is, well, I'm just going to get him saved. I'm going to start dating him, get him saved. No, he's going to mess you up. Yeah. Amen. Don't even entertain the talk. That's right. We okay tonight? Yeah. Same goes for y'all. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Hey, yeah, amen. You ain't got no business talking to single women on your job. Yeah. You said it again. I said you ain't got no business talking to single women on your job. Other than what you have to get your job done. Where's it all start? Harmless conversation. The majority, and please, if I've dealt with you on this issue, don't think I'm talking about you. I'm not. I'm talking about in general. 9 times out of 10, when I deal with a couple that is having that kind of trouble, you know what it started with? Texting. In almost every single case, I got a hot, mad wife coming in my office. Read this. Yep. Yeah. Read this. Is this appropriate? No. Amen. We okay? Yeah. Well, it's just a text. Uh-huh. Sure, it's not going to start with a motel room. It's not going to start with the back seat of a car somewhere. It's going to start with something that appears harmless. If he showed you the outcome to begin with, you'd never fool with it to start with. So he's got to show you something. I may never get to this message. He's got to show you something that appears to be harmless.
Amen.
We okay tonight? So just come and talk with us. I want to show you the number one way the devil attacks you. This is where he starts. He begins to manipulate your mind. He said again, he begins to manipulate your mind. He wants you to look at something that's bad, but see it in a good light. Y'all listen. He wants you to look at something that's harmless and see it in a good light. Several years ago, quite a few years ago, before most of you were ever here, when we were still in Dallas, I had a young preacher boy, 15 years old, power of God on his life, no doubt. Came back from youth rally, just like some of y'all, on fire for God and going to reach the world. Mom and dad got sideways and got out of church. 6 months. It wasn't 6 months. If that, I got a phone call. Can we meet you in your office? I'm talking about as good-looking, a healthy young boy as you can imagine. Brother Charles will tell you it's so. Walked in my office, you could nearly see through him. His face all sunk in. He didn't have to tell me what was going on. I knew. I said, what happened? He said, I just was going to do it one time. Just one time. I walked into the rehab center with my arm around his neck as we checked him into a hospital. His friend said, just once ain't going to hurt nothing. Just once ain't gonna. He said, and I really believe that. Somebody might do it and get by with it, but everybody don't. He said, preacher, I did it one time. And I was hooked. Once. 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 I don't want to get plain, too plain tonight, but you start fooling around sexually, all it takes is once. What happened to me? It's been better than you say that. All it takes is once. And once you start that, you don't just by yourself stop that. Outside the power of God, you're powerless. Harmless, harmless, manipulating your mind. Well, I don't care what mama said. You better care what mama said. Some of y'all's mama got more sense than you give her credit for. Somebody help me. Well, it don't matter what the preacher said. Well, what are you doing in here then? It does matter what the preacher said. As long as he's coming out of you out of that Bible right there. Hey, you better take the preaching of the Word of God. Why? It will steer you away from the snare of the devil. Don't do it. Hey, when the preacher says don't do it, don't do it. There's a reason. I could make you a list of those who did. And it didn't work out too good for them. We okay? Some of these new churches, they make it look good. They make it appealing to the flesh. And it is. I'll be honest with you. And some of y'all ain't gonna like this. But I'd love to play in a Christian rock band. I mean, we'd have to kick it old school. It'd have to be like Lynyrd Skynyrd and CCR. You know what I'm talking about? Proud Mary, keep on turning. I mean, we'd have to have, you know. I'd love to. Bless him, Lord. There we go. Yeah. Hey, I ain't in this by myself. Brother Freddie, would you play in my band? Would you like to? You'd love to. Yeah, you would. Your flesh would. Only problem, you be our lead singer? There we go, man. We Meatloaf. Yeah. Anyway, only problem is that stuff may look enticing. Only problem, ain't nothing to it. Ain't no power on it. And ain't no salvation in their message. Amen. It's all just designed to make you feel bad. But they're going to manipulate your mind. You go to getting sideways and on the outs and mad with God and mad with God's people, it all starts right up here. It'll start right here in this service. I guess some of y'all ain't thinking a second about what I'm talking about. You hear in body only, your brain is somewhere else doing something else. Thinking about somebody else. Y'all all right? Isn't it funny? You can concentrate on American Idol. If you're watching whatever your favorite show is and somebody starts talking, hush! Yeah. Bless God, you'll talk your lips off in church. Yeah. Y'all okay? I mean, if somebody starts talking at the house when I'm watching something, I'll pause it. I ain't got a 10-track mind. I can't listen to that, listen to you all at the same time and get out of both. I can't. Amen. I pause that thing. I say, I don't want to miss something. Well, I ain't pause it. So you can have a conversation, amen? Yeah. Best thing you can do is pause your neighbor. Yeah. Just look at him and go, pause. Amen. Tell me after church, yeah. Pause. Amen. Amen. Don't write me notes right now. I'm trying to get something from God. Yeah. Talk to me after church. Y'all all right? He starts messing with your mind. You go to pray, he starts messing with your mind. You start reading your Bible, you're thinking about everything but what you're reading. Those are, you know, preaching, praying, and reading my Bible is the only time weird stuff pops in my head. But it does. I bet if you're human, it does it to you too. If you're saved, then you're human. Amen? He starts with manipulating your mind. Look at verse number 5. I got to hurry. Verse number 5. Then sent Sanballat, remember, this is his enemy, his servant unto me, in like manner, the fifth time with an open letter. Listen, y'all, 5 times. He's already told him, no, why should I come down to you? In verse number 5, I believe it is. He said, I'm doing a good work. 5 times. What I'm saying is he will not stop. And I know we preach to you like it's only y'all when you're teenagers and the devil messing with you and you give it in to temptation. No, it's going right on back to your mama and daddy, your grandma and grandpa. The devil messes with us all. He don't stop. I can imagine Nehemiah, if he's anything like me, I'm like, dear Lord, here he is again. I just dealt with you yesterday. I done told you no 4 times. Now you're coming back on me 5 times? Amen. Guess what? He's coming back again tomorrow. Yeah. He's coming back again tomorrow. He's coming back again tomorrow. And he will never tempt you with something you don't like. There's a lot of things I can tell you I won't never do. I'm never kissing a man. I guess some people are tempted with that stuff. I ain't. Ain't a one of y'all does nothing for me. Y'all hearing me? Dylan, you hearing me? I said ain't none of y'all. I ain't kissing no man. Not even worried about it. Nope. Why? I don't think the devil's ever going to tempt me with that. I've never had homosexuals going, hey. Can I get your digits? No. I never had that problem. Why? That's not a temptation to me. But those things I am tempted with. How many of you'd be honest and say the devil tempts me with the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over again? And I know some of y'all, I could come to you and tell you what your fang is. Y'all all right? Mine's covetousness. Sorry. I want everything I see. If I I lie you not. Rusty put a tractor for sale out there. Jason put a tractor for sale out there. I'm driving down the road. I need that. The devil's going, yeah, you need that. And the Holy Ghost is going, for what? Hey, man.
Amen.
Yeah, but my friend bought it. So that's the best way to have a tractor, get your friend to buy it. Amen.
Amen.
Some of y'all have the same problem I do. You want stuff you can't afford?
Amen.
You want stuff that'll keep you away from God? Amen. I don't think it's good for every Christian man to have a new bass boat. Why? Because some of you put it in the water on Sunday. Y'all okay? Whew. I got it. Where was I at? Huh?
Fifth time.
Yeah. What verse? Yeah, here we go. Verse number 6, wherein was written, it is reported among the heathen, and whoever that is, saith it, that thou and the Jews think to rebel, for which cause thou buildest a wall, that thou mayest be their king according to these words. I said, number one, when the devil attacks you, he does it by manipulating your mind. But then he'll go a step farther and begin to misrepresent your motives. In other words, he'll lie on you. Jump down to, I think it's verse number 7 or 8. Let me find it right quick. Yeah, verse number 8. Then I sent unto him saying, there are no such things. This is Nehemiah's reply. There are no such things done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart. He said, you made it up. You made it up. Hey, it never fails. You let a church in this town doing halfway right and get on fire for God and start seeing people saved, somebody going to call them a cult.
Yeah.
Y'all okay?
Yeah.
We've been called a cult by some of the craziest churches in the world. I mean, don't go down there. That ain't nothing but a cult.
Yeah,
yeah, we got the Kool-Aid hid up under the pulpit. After certain people leave tonight, we're coming back in here and going to throw snakes at each other. We are a New Testament, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching Baptist church.
Amen.
Amen, amen. We're independent. There's no hierarchy.
Amen.
We're not answering to some big shot in Atlanta. When we send $10 to the mission field, $10 goes to the mission field. Corporate ain't dipping into it somewhere.
Amen.
We're not a cult. But if you'll listen around here close enough, you'll hear that we are.
Yeah.
Oh, we're a bunch of haters, too. We hate everybody. Oh, you can't. They light the internet up. Oh, you can't go to that church if you have a tattoo. Liar.
Yeah.
Liar. If you're a man, you can't go to that church with a pair of jeans on. Liar.
Yeah.
You can't go to that church if you've got a piercing. Liar.
Yeah.
Y'all listen to me.
Amen.
I'm telling you things that are said about us all the time. And I'm going like, they ain't never been here. They have never been here. They're Sanballat and they're Tobiah. The parking lot is full of cars, so something must be wrong with this place. And it's the same way in your Christian life. You go to youth rally and get on fire for God. You come to camp meeting, get excited, and try to carry that back to work. They want to remember when you were in your backslidden state, and they want to look at you and go, it ain't real. You're just a phony. You're just a fake. 6 months, you'll be cussing again. 6 months, it'll be right back to the same old, same old. Hey, it may be.
Yeah.
But thank God you're on fire for a minute.
Yeah.
Y'all all right? I'd rather have you on fire for 3 weeks than dead for 12 months out of the year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Y'all all right? One of these days, keep getting right, kids. Keep getting fired up. One of these days, it's going to stick.
Yeah.
One of these days, you're going to get excited, and you're going to stay that way.
Yeah,
y'all all right?
Yeah,
they used to tell kids, don't make faces like that, it'll stick. Some of y'all did, didn't it?
Yeah.
Huh? He'll manipulate your mind. He'll misrepresent your motive. Somebody that you might could reach through the Timothy Club, or hand them a gospel tract, or inviting them to church, or a co-worker during friend day or family day, or some of this stuff, somebody might pull them aside and say, hey, let me tell you what I heard. Let me tell you what I read on the blog. Y'all all right? They'll misrepresent our motives. They'll misrepresent your motives. Some of your family members misrepresent your motives now. Because you came to this church and got excited, and now you're here, and every time the door's open, they think we've got you under some kind of spell. What have they done to you down there? And if they're not saying that to your face, they're saying it behind your back. I mean, you take somebody that was on dope and running crazy and wild and never even mentioned the Lord or church, and now all of a sudden you're there 3 or 4 times a week. Yeah. And every time they say something, you're going like, amen. Yeah. I mean, your whole vocabulary is changing. You say goodbye to your daddy and say, see you, brother. You know, and he's like, what? Brother? Come on. And they're looking at you and they're going, you're nuts. Oh, yeah. When your motives are great, all you want to see is your family miss hell. All you want to see is your co-workers go to heaven with you when you die. You're not crazy because you're faithful. You're not crazy because you're excited. You get excited, they'll call you crazy, won't they, Richard? You get excited and shout around crowd that ain't never heard you get excited and shout, and they're going to go, woo. I'm telling you what the enemy will do. He'll do it every single time. He'll set you a trap. Man, these people I've got in this church I've wanted to see in church for so long. No sooner did I get them in. Hey. Some old blast from the past shows up. Y'all okay? He'll manipulate your mind. That's the number one. Number one. That's where he works. Amen. Your eyes are a window. Your ears are a window. Amen. Quit thinking about it. If it goes through my mind, it comes out my mouth. Just think about what goes through your mind. And get control of what goes in your mind. Amen. Well, there's some things that I just... If you don't think what you watch and what you hear affects you. How many was in here Sunday morning in the sanctuary? Okay, you can put your hands down. How many of you think I sounded mad? Be honest. If I didn't seem mad to you, something's wrong. I was hot as a firecracker. Why? I already had the message prepared. I knew what I was preaching. But I sat up and watched all those specials on 9/11. What the terrorists did to our country. I watched those people falling out of those buildings. And I sat there and got mad. What you listen to. Hey, listen. I used to race on the speed team at the skating ring in Hiram. I was good, too. I'm talking about stroke it, buddy. When we had a speed meet, we had our own music we brought. And it wasn't some lame Elton John song. Y'all listen? I mean, it was Life in the Fast Lane. Something crook up about Warp 9. Man, you couple skate to them slow songs. Y'all listening? Why would we play that fast song? It did something. Amen? It did something. You get to listen to something on the radio, and it's got some jump and jive to it. You look down, you'll be speeding. Amen. I'm telling you, what you hear, what you see, it affects your mind. It affects your mental state. Amen. Well, he'll manipulate your mind. He'll misrepresent your motives. Look at verse number 10. He said, afterward, I came into the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, the son of Mehetabel, I guess, who was shut up. And he said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay thee. Yea, in the night will they come to slay. Listen, man, over and over, you know, everything is designed to distract Nehemiah from what he's doing. He manipulates your mind, he'll misrepresent your motives, then he'll modify your mission. What are you saying? He'll give you something else to do. Let me say it again. He will give you something else to do. How many of you ever set out to do something? I'm talking about for the Lord now. Whether it's witness, hand out so many tracts, read so many verses, pray so much a significant, so much amount of specified time. Amen. Anybody ever done that?
Yes,
did anything get in the way? Amen. Come on, y'all help me.
Amen.
Did anything come up?
Every,
he'll modify your mission. Okay, I'm going to pray 15 minutes a day, Lord. Lord, with your help, I'm going to pray 15 minutes. Well, five's okay. I got busy. Five's better than none. But you didn't complete the mission. I'm going to hand out X amount of gospel tracts a week. You watch this, something on. I'm going to read a chapter of Psalms. I'm going to read a chapter of Proverbs. I'm going to read a couple chapters in Old Testament. I'm going to read a couple chapters in New Testament. I'm going to do that every day. Let me just say that again.
Amen.
Half the time when you do, it's the last thing you do before you pass out.
Right.
And you're reading it like this.
Yep. Amen.
These parts of the Bible just ain't exciting.
Yeah.
Boring.
Yeah.
Woo! I finally got the numbers. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody said, oh, I just skipped that. Uh-uh.
Right.
Don't skip it.
Amen.
Bear through it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why? Oh, am I going to get something out of it? Probably not. But God will load you up on the next few pages over because you bore through that. Amen?
Yeah,
amen.
Right.
And then again, you might just get something out of it. Amen?
Right.
But most of the time, nah. Just read it anyway. That's just brutally honest, ain't it?
Amen.
We okay? He'll modify your mission. You work a bus route. You make up your mind. Brother Clinton, Miss Donna says, okay, Saturday, we're going to spend from 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock or from 12 o'clock to 1 o'clock, whatever it is, 1 hour. We're going to do nothing but new houses. You ever made that decision? Anything ever try to get in the way of it? Every single time. Every single time. Trying to think what else I want to say right here. When you set a goal, and I think you ought to set goals, I think at your age, you ought to be setting some pretty high goals. Man, this is the time of your life right here where you are. And I promise you, you don't get it back. Me and that boy right there started out teenagers for our little kids as friends and been friends all our life. We woke up one day old men. My buddy was here that we grew up with from Florida, Roger Bush. Just had his birthday. We went over and had breakfast with him this morning. Started reminiscing, telling stories. I was going home and I realized how old them stories are. I told my wife, I said, Stacy probably hadn't seen Roger in 20 years. And I thought, 20? It's been more than 20. It's probably been more like 30. I'm telling you, you don't get them back.
That's right.
All you can do is sit around with your bald-headed old friend and talk about how fun that was.
Yeah.
And you can't even half remember it. Say amen right there, bro. Amen. He'll modify your mission. Here's what I'm saying. If you're 14, get everything out of 14 you can.
Yes.
I mean, get everything. Make sure God gets everything out of 14 God wants out of 14. Amen. Have no regrets. How many of y'all got regrets?
Amen.
Have a last living one of us. Amen. Well, wouldn't it be cool to look back and say, buddy, I did everything God wanted me to do when I was 14. I did nothing God wanted me to do when I was 14. That's my testimony. He'll modify your mission. Verse 17, we'll close. The Bible said, moreover, in those days the nobles of Judah sent many letters unto Tobiah, and the letters of Tobiah came unto them. Stop right there. Guess who Judah is? Judah is of the house of Israel. He's on Nehemiah's side, but he's sending the enemy letters. What do you think they say? Nehemiah's doing this today. Nehemiah's doing this today. You ain't going to believe what Nehemiah did yesterday. He's Facebooking. How about that? Amen. There's Facebook in the Bible right there. Amen. Y'all all right? Now, wait a minute. He's supposed to be on his side. He's supposed to be on Nehemiah's side. He's supposed to be for what he's doing. What are you saying? I'm saying sometimes the men around you will be misguided. And if you're not careful, you'll start looking at them. Nehemiah could have started looking at what Judah was doing and got himself so messed up. Do you know who has the most potential to hurt you and pull you out of the work of God? The one you love the most. Those that you work with, those that you are close to, those that are supposed to have your back.
Amen.
Have you ever just really looked around and thought, I thought she had my back. I thought he had my back.
Yes, sir.
Y'all all right? You know what your problem is? You're looking in the wrong place. I pick at Stacy so much. By the way, if I pick at you, that means I like you. Yes, sir. I pick at Brother Stacy. I pick at Brother Freddie while I'm preaching. I mean, but I just give these guys a hard time, but I love them. Either one of these men, any of these guys, this man right here, could kill my soul, could break my heart. They have the potential to do that. Okay? That's not their desire. But if Stacy messes up and gets on dope and gets living like he used to live and winds up in jail, I'm not going to quit serving God. But some of you would. Some of you would. If I did something, God forbid. If you got to Facebook in the morning, Brother Eddie has run off with some lady, some of y'all quit. But it ought not be that way. One of my childhood heroes was dying on his deathbed. Ollie Matthews. So weak he could barely talk. And somewhere in the conversation, I said something about how much confidence I had in him. That sick, frail little man sat up in that bed and stuck his finger in my face. He said, do not put confidence in the flesh. He said, it'll let you down.
Amen.
He said, your confidence better not be in me because I'm leaving here.
Yeah.
It better be in God.
Amen.
I've never forgotten that, Brother Freddie. You know what? I think that statement, what has helped me when some of my preacher buddies went south. Messed up and quit living for God. Somewhere along the line, kids, you're going to have to make up your mind that you're going to look around at your friends and say, I don't care what you do. I want you to do right. I want you to keep yourself pure. I mean, I want you to stay off the dope. I want you to live for the Lord. But whether you do or not, it's not affecting who I am.
Yeah.
And it will if you let it.
That's right.
You know what you'll do? What's the use?
Amen.
You know what my number one excuse was to do stuff my mama didn't want me to do? Everybody else was doing it.
Yeah, but you're not everybody else.
Anybody ever heard that? She wouldn't let me wear a bell bottom. Everybody else was. She wouldn't let me get a ponytail. everybody else was. She wouldn't let me get my ear pierced. What a mean woman. Everybody else was.
Yeah, come on, preacher.
That was my excuse. If you're not careful, you'll watch what everybody else is doing, and you'll feel like you're the Lone Ranger and you're left out. Let me tell you something. You and God are always the majority. You and the Lord always outnumber them all. You're bigger than any club in the school. You're bigger than any fad. Amen. You know what I learned over the years? When something goes out of style, don't throw it away. Put it in the closet. Don't gain weight. Put it in the closet. It's coming back around. I seen a woman the other day had on bell bottoms, covered her whole feet. I stopped and did a doctor. I said, them bell bottoms, man. Peace, man. Que pasa? Yeah. Just make up your mind. I'm not going to watch them. I'm going to do my... You'll never go wrong watching him.
Amen. Amen.
You'll never go wrong watching him. Apostle Paul said, but we see Jesus. Pilate said, I find no fault in this man. He's never going to change on you. He's never going to let you down. Grown-ups will let you down. If you ain't careful, your parents will let you down. They're human too. That don't mean you stop loving them. Just because mom and daddy's hating each other's guts right now don't mean you got to quit loving them. But you keep your eyes on the Lord. And you too. And you too. Whether you're 15 or 50, this fits everybody.
Amen.
There is a real enemy.
Amen.
And he's good at what he does.
Amen.
He's not a he's not an amateur. He's major league.
Yes, sir.
He's sharp. David, one of the mightiest men in the Bible. When he was a boy, he killed a lion and a bear with his bare hands. When he was just a young man, he took the sling and faced the giant Goliath and killed him.
Yes, he did.
He was a man after God's own heart.
Amen.
He played his harp and run demon spirits away from Saul.
Yes, he did.
I'm talking about, I'd say he's a godly man, wouldn't you?
Yes, sir.
A mighty man.
Yes.
Mighty man. He was a warrior.
Yes.
Strong, disciplined.
Yes, he was.
He committed adultery and murder. How mighty are you? I'd say I wouldn't be worthy to carry David's little sling. Would you? I ain't never wrote no psalms. How about y'all? If David can fall, I can fall. Let's stand there. Yes, sir, brother. Go ahead, brother.
I have never done this before, what I'm fixing to say. But I have been in church, I know at least 100 times since we've been here. And I know you think, because I counsel so many of y'all, that you think that he and I get together to talk. I want you to understand something. I've been counseling people this week. He said the same things that we've been discussing. I have not said a word to him. No. This stuff happened.
Amen. It was, yes, sir, thank you, that's good. It would blow your mind how many times on Sunday morning I come in and I start to preach and I'll notice this crowd go to giggling. And I know what it is every time. I used to make a deal out of it. I don't even pay no attention anymore. But I'll get up on Sunday morning and preach exactly what he's just taught, or I'll preach exactly what he's just taught, or what one of these three men, I'll preach their Sunday school lesson. And sometimes it'll be to the extent that you would think I was preaching from the same notes they were teaching from. Yeah, just like Brother Rusty just said, same scriptures and everything. Friend, that's the Lord. I promise you, there has never been a time when Brother Charles and I, Brother Warren, or Brother Freddie sat down and said, what you teaching in the morning? I ain't got a clue. These men have perfect liberty. They don't tell me what. I mean, sometimes Brother Freddie will say, well, I'm going to be teaching on the home or finance or whatever. You know, I might know the general area of what he's doing, but most of the time I don't. And if the Lord cares enough to get it to you twice, that's a verily, verily, I say unto thee. I mean, that means, boy, the Lord must have really wanted me to get this. Amen. And I ain't got a clue what he's talking about. I don't know who he's talked to. I don't know. I just know what the Lord gave me. Amen. And I think the Lord does. It's because he loves you. It's because he loves us. He's faithful. He's faithful. Amen. Amen. The difference in a good message and a bad one is timing. Amen. Heard that years ago. The difference between a good message and a great message is timing. That's what he said. In other words, it'd be a good message if you really needed it right now. But boy, if you get the message and it's right on time, it's a great message. Amen. Let's see. Aaron, how about you and Michael come? Y'all hand out these prayer sheets. I don't uplift people and brag on people a whole lot. Y'all wait before you start moving just a minute. But I want to tell a young man in this church how impressed these last few months I have been with just watching him. Brother Shy Mooney. I guarantee you the notes this young'un took tonight from this sermon are better than my outline was. Since he got saved, I've never seen a kid so sincere about the altar call. And I don't want to blow your head up, but I just want you to know we see what God's doing. And we love you, amen. Just had it on my heart. Been just watching him tonight and just, amen. And he's not by himself. There's others that are doing good too. I just felt like the Lord wanted me to encourage him, amen. Come get you a prayer sheet and let's pray.